the invitation. So I actually don't know what people want to hear. So I just start from the very beginning of my research. So this is my part of my PhD thesis, actually. So it's joint with Valerio Toledano Laredo. And so for the plan, first I will start with conformal blocks. And the KZ equation. So I guess everybody already knows the stuff, so it's just for entertainment. And so then I will explain the universal KZB equation. And so this is mainly the work of Kallak, Enriquez, and Ettinghoff. And a generalization due to Valerio and myself. So then I will talk about so what we call the elliptic Casimir connection. And so you can think this is the one specialization of the universal KZB. And finally, so I prepared some questions to the audience. So this is very informal, and please be prepared. Start the notation. G will be a finite dimensional simple Lie algebra, and G hat is a Kasmoudi Lie algebra, and I'm thinking it's a central extension with one dimensional center to G hat to so this functions on the formal punctured disk. To G, okay, so this is just isomorphic to G joint T. And I'm interested in the induced representation of G hat, meaning so for any V, which is a finite dimensional of G, so if I consider G hat plus, meaning functions from the formal punctured formal disk to G plus the central extension. So this is just the current part. So this guy acts on V, and the action is whenever I have a positive power of T times this, X by zero. And so the central element X by level K. Okay, and I will denote the bold face V to be the induced representation. So enveloping of G hat over this positive part, tensor V. Okay, and so for the conformal block, I have to fix the following data. So fix the curve. So for simplicity, say P1. And so fix markings on the curve, Z1 up to Zn on X. And also I have to fix n finite dimensional representation of the simple Lie algebra. Okay, so the following picture is in Franco von Zwie's book. So I have the curve and I have those markings. And for each mark point, I can put an induced representation and so on. Okay, so each Vi, that's so you can think it's attached to this G hat around the formal disk, around those points. So tensor Vi of this UG plus. Okay. And so we can consider the tensor broad product of those. So consider tensor product of the induced representations. So we know on this guy, there's an action of all those G hat. So each one is attached to different markings. Okay, because I'm taking the same level, right? So those should have the same level, okay? So we can module out all the central elements. Okay, and in here there's a global Lie algebra. It's so you look at functions from my curve, remove those points to G. Okay, so for simplicity, I'll denote this guy by G out. So it's functions from curve to G, which could have poles on the markings. All right, and by conformal block definition, so conformal block is defined to be, so it depends on P1, the curve, and those markings. And so the representations I'm chosen from the beginning, so it's functional on those tensor products. Okay, so which is killed by those global Lie algebra. All right, and now so if I fix my curve, so fix P1, and if I vary those points, so I can get, so as long as I have to assume those points are different, so I can get some base space, so which is a conformal, sorry, configuration, so which is just a C to the N, remove the diagonal. Okay, so this is a configuration of points on C, and I don't want those points to touch the infinity. Right, and also, so this conformal block I defined there, so the conformal block will become a bundle, become a vector bundle on this configuration space. Okay, so each fiber is this functional. Okay, so on this bundle, there's a canonical flat connection. And so it's giving as follows. So where this come from? So I have this derivative acting on G hat. Okay, right? So this action is inner. Meaning, right, so it's the famous Sugawara construction. So meaning there exists an operator lies in the completion of G hat, such that if I'm taking derivative of the current, it's the same as I'm taking the Lie bracket with this operator of AT for AT less in G hat. Okay. And so where's the connection? So on this bundle, so P1 ZV, so we know this is lies in the dual of the tensor. Okay, so I can write down the connection directly. It's just the normal derivative minus this operator L negative 1 I, meaning it acts on the isotropy. Okay. Right, so the theorem is so I can embed this conformal block to a trivial bundle, and so V1 tensor V2 up to Vn. So this is a trivial bundle on the configuration space, and this connection has an explicit formula. So there exists an explicit formula of my DI, so which looks like the following. DDZI minus a constant, okay, summing over J, J not equal to I, of omega I J divided by ZI minus ZJ. So where this omega I J, right, so that's a Casimir connection, so looks like, so one tensor BA tensor B up A tensor 1. So this is in the S copy, this is in the J's copy. And so those are bases and dual bases of the Lie algebra. Okay, so anyhow, so this is a classical story, and this is a KZ equation. Okay.
Excuse me?
Yes?
Are there some relations? If I look at various omega entries, say omega 1, 2, omega 1, 3, and so on.
Right, so it satisfies the classical Jahn-Bachs equation, the omegas. Which means, right. So which means omega ij, omega kl. So those are equal to zero whenever the indices are different. And omega 1, 2, omega, maybe I should write ij, omega ik plus omega kj. So those commutes. So that's infinitesimal braid relation. Right, so those relation is equivalent to the flatness of this connection. Right, so a special case, if those V's are the same, and we have the symmetric group acting on the tensor product of the fiber, okay, and if I look at the monodromy, so the monodromy of my connection, so we know it's a representation. So it's a representation of the fundamental group of the configuration space. So this guy is a braid group. Okay, so 2GL of this tensor product of V. So the monodromy induces such a map. Okay, and so if the n is small, you can try to write down what the monodromy map is. But if n is very big, it's complicated. And so a theorem. Here. So the theorem, so the famous Kornel-Dreifeld theorem. So around the 90s. Okay. So it says, roughly speaking, so the monodromy of this KZ equations is equivalent to the R matrix representation of the quantum group UQG. Okay. So another way to rephrase this is so if I look at the representation of UG, so this category has a tensor. So this tensor is induced by the KZ equation. So this is equivalent to the representation of the quantum group UQG, and whose tensor product is given by the R matrix. Okay. Right. So that's a classical story. So maybe I will make two remarks and I can move on. So remark one, so we actually, so I state everything in terms of P1. So you can replace this P1 by an elliptic curve, for example. And so the whole story is still okay. And the only change here, so we only have to change, so this Lie algebra, G out. So now we don't have a trivial G bundle on elliptic curve. So we just have to replace this guy by the adjoint bundle. So look at functions on the elliptic curve to sections of the adjoint bundle. And so this story is worked out by Felder and Vic Zarkovsky. Okay, and they also have a very explicit formula, which is a KZB equation. All right, and the second remark. So I want to explain there's a duality. So there's a GLK, GLN duality. Okay, so meaning, so in the previous story, I can take G to be GLK, okay, and fiber of my bundles to be the tensor product of CK, the standard representation. Okay, so we know the GLK X on the tensor, and the operator appeared in my connection is this omega ij. Okay, and on the other hand, we also have the GLN X here. And if I rewrite this omega ij in terms of this GLN action, so it's the following, I pick a root epsilon I minus epsilon j, and I rewrite this omega ij in terms of the action here, so it's this guy, so it's the E alpha F alpha plus Fe, so it's also a Casimir type operator. And you can think it's an element in the enveloping algebra of SL2 related to this root alpha. So anyway, so it's an element in the enveloping algebra of GLN. Okay. And so when I say Casimir connection, so this is introduced by Valerio. Maybe also De Concini around 2002. Okay, and so it is written in terms of this form. So it looks like D minus summing over all roots. Okay, so this operator C alpha divided by alpha D alpha. So anyway, so the form looks very similar, and the good thing for this Casimir connection is it's a flat connection on right, so the base you can put an arbitrary hyperplane arrangement, so that's a Cartan, remove some root hyperplane. Okay, before I can only take the configuration space. And so second good thing is it's a connection defined on arbitrary trivial bundle. Right, so H cross V, so those V is arbitrary representation of G. So before I can only take the fiber to be tensor products. Okay, right, so that's just some background. And now, so the main goal of my talk is to construct an elliptic type Casimir connection. Okay, and so how should I do it? So let me start with a very simple example. Say n equals 2, and so the reduced configuration, so the base space, so it's a punctured curve, so elliptic curve removes the origin. Okay, so I want to write down some connection here. So I'm looking at a vector bundle. So I denote the curly V over E by the bundle. And if I pull back to the universal cover, this guy becomes trivial. C cross V, where V is some finite dimensional vector space. Right, and so this curly V, so I can think it is a quotient of this guy by a lattice action, where the action is by the following. So if I have ZV, so Z plus 1V, so it's the same, means this copy X trivially, and so the other is periodic, Z plus tau. And so I have an operator here, where this operator, I just have to record it. So the X is some operator of V. Okay, and the connection I'm looking at, I can write everything on the universal cover. So it's D minus some coefficient dz. Okay, so that's one form on C, but matrix valued. Okay, and I wanted to descend to the elliptic curve. So the conditions are, so this coefficient has to be periodic in one direction and quasi-periodic in the other. Okay, and I want it to have regular singularity. So this AZ has a simple pole at z equal to zero. And so I can also record the residue. So T is defined to be the residue of this guy at z equal to zero. So it's also an operator that's in here. So anyway, so that's all the condition I need to use. And it turns out there is a exactly one solution. Okay, and the solution looks like the following. So it's a theta function of z plus adjoint of this operator x divided by theta z, theta adjoint this x applied to t. Okay, so I think this is a function on the punctured elliptic curve, but matrix valued. Okay, so that's formally, it looks like this, but the theta function, so this form has a pole as equal to zero. So this denominator doesn't quite make sense. Okay, so we just have to rewrite it. Z plus adjoint x, theta z, theta this guy. And I have to cancel out the pole, minus one over adjoint x, apply it to t, and I add it back. Okay, so this makes sense. And so this part, I just have to introduce another operator y, such that, so the relation is x, y, the commutator equals t. Okay. Right, so whatever I wrote down here, so that's the universal case B equation of rank one. Okay, so it's the following form. I have three operators with one relation.
What's pi?
There's no pi, it's t. Oh, that's my t. Right, so that's the coefficient you get in here. So it's, right, later on, I will specialize that t to be some Casimir. Right, so that's the rank one case, and in general, yeah, I'm going to repeat what you already know. So the base space, so I'm looking at the configuration of points on the elliptic curve, and so there will be a holonomially algebra. Okay, so I denote this guy by Tn. So the generators are, I have a bunch of x, bunch of y's, and I have those t's, tij. And so the relation is completely known. So with explicit relation in degree 2 and 3, so those relations are infinite Braider relation. And right, so I will skip the formula, but so by CEE, so they wrote down the universal KZB equation with coefficients in here, in this Tn hat. Yes.
The higher genus generalization.
Yeah. Right. So yes, higher genus. That's a paper by Enriquez. He Right, so that for heterogeneous, the relation is also known, and the connection is also known, but it's not quite explicit.
You mean less explicit than this theta function ratio?
No, for heterogeneous, I think what Enrique has had is, he said there exists something of the following form.
Okay. That's via a non-compact curve, isn't that right?
It's...
my memory, or the non-zero one form? Am I wrong?
I forgot.
Which conformal blocks are we discussing now?
I think, right, so that's when I say universal something, so kind of forget about the conformal block stuff.
But uh-huh. Is it supposed to describe some conformal blocks?
I think so, right? So it specializes some conformal block.
If you put in GL, it's the same situation with the GL and GLK?
Mm-hmm.
When you have the curve? With mm-hmm. specialized conformal blocks?
Yeah. Right.
But it's more general.
So what I wrote down there is more general, but if you look at the special case here, so it will be the KZB, it will specialize to the KZB equation.
I thought that we were discussing the KL, GLN duality.
Mm-hmm.
We were on a plane with a bunch of wild modules and a Whittaker vector of some sort at infinity. But.
And then I think this case it just be.
Just here it's just the torus with a bunch of wild modules.
And maybe some background gauge field. Because that's what they're.
What does background gauge field mean?
Symmetry. I've usually.
They're like KZ equations, right? For conformal blocks. What does it mean?
It's a I mean, Trans-Simons theory with some Dirichlet value. I specify them, and I move the points around.
Yeah, but what is the background connection?
It's X, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's X. It's X. X is like you have this bundle V, and that's some twisted. That's the bundle V is a monodal V, so you should go cycles to set stop.
I think you will expect more questions for the last part. So, anyway.
No, I'm just trying to understand what we're talking about.
Oh.
I mean, so okay, there are conformal blocks of Katz-Moody on a tor on an elliptic curve are going to be in infinite dimensional space, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, is this, are these x and y somehow labeling the? I'm really confused.
No, so I'm right. So I'm just you forget about the infinite dimensional thing. I'm just saying. Yeah, maybe I should say. So if I write down this form, so it's a connection on the principal, right? So there's some principal bundle,
yes.
And so it's this exponential of this Tn hat principal bundle on this configuration space. And when I write x, y, t, right, so it means, am I right?
I think this is much more general than what David is asking about it, right? Because when if you look at this formula here, you see remark one, and you see the only change is g out is this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That will give you a conformal box for the Katz-Moody, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's there'll be some bundle as part of the definition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
a bundle, yes, but not a connection.
Well, not a connection.
Yes, and then what this AOC is.
It's a one way to describe a holomorphic bundle is to give a flat bundle. That's what she's done. Every holomorphic bundle is a flat structure on an elliptic curve.
Yeah, I think that's what basically the point for in the CE's paper. So they say they can write this universally, they forget about the conformal block. It's specialized to the conformal block.
But which conformal blocks?
Okay, so it's a conformal block. I started in the very beginning, right? So you have the elliptic curve. Here's the elliptic curve. You have the marking. You have the representation of G hat.
Yeah, except it's conformal blocks of Katsumudi on an elliptic curve is a very big space.
That's fine.
I say the KZ equation will have some, will be written with some operator inside, which will leave it as an arbitrary symbol.
Yes, that operator has to satisfy some relation with the KZ connection to the flat.
Four blocks of Katsumudi, even without functions, right? They are D.
Yeah. They're a D module, and she's put.
They're the module D on the on band G. Side. So the quantization of flat connections. I don't understand why flat connection is. I mean, why can you? I'm confused.
No, I'm just wrote down some connection on the punctured torus, and but it still makes sense, right? I'm just saying to be flat. Or maybe should I continue?
Sure.
Yeah, maybe I can state one application for this universal form to see whether this makes sense. So, so theorem, they can use the form to prove the following formality theorem. And so this guy is first approved by Roman Bezukhovnikov, by Roman. So that's Roma's thesis, and also by them around 2009. And recently, Enriquez Ettinghoff, so they stated this result. And the generalizations due to myself and Valerio. So basically, so if you look at the monodromy, okay, so we know it's a representation of the pi 1. Of this guy, and so the bundle I'm looking at the principal, the exponential. So this guy is a group, and if I look at monodromy, so so it mapped to here. So this guy induces an isomorphism, right? So this guy is a pure elliptic braid group. Okay, so if I use a monodromy map, it induces a map from the Malchow-Lie algebra of this guy to this Tn hat, the holonomy-Lie algebra. And this result is a formality result. So it says if you look at the Malchow-Lie algebra of the pure braid group, and it isomorphic to some graded guy, so this graded Lie algebra right, so we have explicit relations for it. Okay, so for example, one corollary, so this tells us this group is one formal. And yeah, just concretely, so for example, if you take n equals 2, what the example I did before, so this guy is a fundamental group of the punctured elliptic curve. Okay. So I have this, And I have the A loop, B loops, that's AB. And I also have the monodromy around the puncture. Right, so the presentation is very explicit. So ABC modulo out AB, A inverse, B inverse equals C. Okay, so the Lie algebra is exactly what the relation we had before. Right, so maybe one more remark. So this is under the Ling's suggestion. So what Enriquez and Ettinghoff did recently, so they have a Tanakhian interpretation of this isomorphism. So it's a Riemann-Hilbert correspondence type. So one category we have bundles with flat connection with regular singularity, and the other we have the local system on the curve. Okay, so they construct the fiber functors on both categories. So this isomorphism can be interpreted as automorphism of the fiber functors. So anyhow, so it's a Tanakhian interpretation. Okay. So that's the start point. And now, so I can tell you the elliptic Casimir connection we did. Okay. So you can think this is obtained by specialization of the universal KZB equation.
So how many points are we putting on the top? Are we gonna? Is this just one single spin one degenerate?
So when I say the base is a configuration of n points, so we put n points.
N points, right? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So there is a bunch of integrable representations, and then one representation which is not integrable. That's why it's a puncture torus, correct? So you're studying the K's equations for n integrable representations and one generic something else. I mean, what's going on in the puncture of the torus? There is some.
I think all the punctures are the same. It's just you wrote this for n equals 2, in which you just look at the difference between them.
Right. So why?
Okay. Sorry.
So this puncture is like a hyper. Right.
So it's just one torus with n integrable representations, okay? Right? N representations.
That's a special case.
Oh. Yes.
So you could have also said the configuration space of points in the elliptic curve whose sum is the identity.
I actually, right, so here, so what I said is configuration of two points on E, but I have to take the reduced part, means, so I have E cross E, I remove the diagonal, but so there's a translation E action, so I quotient by the E, so that's why you see E remove this puncture.
So the thing on the right-hand side with x and y and so on was just a solution for n equal to 2?
Right, so in general, let's see where you get confused. Right, so in general, I have those x1 up to xn, y1 up to yn, and we have these tijs. Mm-hmm. It corresponds to the n points, right? Okay, so right. So in this concrete example, and so first I have to tell you something about this algebra. So we call it a deformed double current algebra. So this is first introduced by Nikolai Gouy. And maybe I'll first list a few properties so you can get an idea what it is. So this this algebra also show up in Kevin's work, where Kevin has this five-dimensional gauge theory and here. Right, so the second property, so this is the rational degeneration of the quantum toroidal algebra. Right, so this is like if you do one degeneration, you get the affine Yang-Ging, and you do one more, so you get this double current algebra. And if I set the two parameter to be zero, maybe I'll put a notation denoted by D lambda beta GLM. Okay, so the classical limit of this, so that's the universal central extension of this double current algebra. Okay, so as a vector space, so this guy is very big. So I have all the one form of the plane divided by the closed form. Okay, so this part is in the center, and I have this double current guy. So this guy is infinite dimensional. Okay. Right, so that's as a vector space. And if you are familiar with the Heike algebra, so this guy is Schroer-Weyl dual to the rational Cherenkov algebra, rational Daha. And right, so together with Gouy, and we proved furthermore, so there's some structure of this algebra. Maybe I will list everything I know. Kevin has more to say. So roughly speaking, so I have the algebra. And inside here, so I have this sub-algebra GU and sub-algebra GV. And the intersection of those, I have a copy of G. And on the diagonal, and there's a copy of Yang-Ging, the finite Yang-Ging sitting inside. And you can think this deforms the G times U times V. Okay. And we know the presentation of this algebra. So it's generated by something like the degree 0, degree 1, 0, degree 0, 1 thing with an explicit double loop relation among those x times u, x times v. So the presentation is very explicit. And we also know something about the center. So let me denote Z by the center. So it turns out if those parameters are special for non-generic case, it's something like this. Okay, so for the non-generic case, the center is infinite dimensional. And inside here, so we found infinite dimensional, we have a polynomial ring with infinite generators and another different polynomial ring with infinite generators sitting inside the center. And for generic case, otherwise, so if I look at the Cardan elements H tensor U, H tensor V, so right, so in the non-deformed case, the commutator should be zero, but this is in the deformed guy, so the deformation is something like beta 1 alpha beta 2 alpha times the Casimir type. Okay, so this relation holds if beta 1 beta 2 are perpendicular. Okay, so if beta 1 beta 2 not perpendicular, so for example, if those two things are equal, and so the difference will give me another central element. So this will have so the difference is a central element in this Z, in this D. Okay. And we also know some higher degree relation, which I will skip. And so we also know some symmetry here. Okay, so meaning there's a SL2C action. Okay, so I think you can imagine, you consider the two currents as a lattice. So this guy is permuting the lattice. Okay, this is also mentioned in Kevin's paper. And so one thing we found non-trivial is this action is inner. Meaning we found three elements in D which satisfy the SL2 relation. And so that's one thing. And another is, right, so which I didn't say in the beginning, so the KZB equation, actually, so it should be a connection on M1n. So before I fix the modular parameter tau, so it actually should be a connection on here. And so the coefficient, the holonomial algebra, if I write a connection here, has to be enlarged. Okay, and there's a derivation acting on T. And so the derivation is more or less, I have a copy of SL2, and there are a bunch of derivatives which I don't quite understand how they get it. And so EFH, so that's a copy of SL2. So this probably comes from the mapping class group, but this delta, I don't have an explanation. But anyway, so those huge algebra, those derivation also acts on D, and we found out this action is inner. Yes.
Do you also consider differentials with respect to tau?
Right. So so here, so when I say it's extended to a connection on M1n, so it looks like right. So it looks like the connection I wrote before. So ddz minus right. So I write it in terms of this, and there's another term. And here is d tau, so that's a derivative with respect to tau. And everything I said about this derivation occurs here.
Ah, okay, okay. So in this bracket, do you put something like the tau derivative of A? Oh, no. Do the elliptic associators fit in somewhere there?
If I I can only now I can only remember something they put what is it called, the I forgot
little a and little b from over there. I think they have a differential equation tau where delta 2m is the coefficient of the Eisenstein.
Yeah, they put some eisenstein there, and but I forgot exactly. I can show you.
All right.
Sorry. Yeah, they put some eisenstein theories there, and I remember they call it a heat equation, and yeah, anyway. Yeah, so right, so it's basically so this Casimir connection we wrote down. And for simplicity, I'm going to write for you for SL2 case. Right, so the following for any finite dimensional representation of this D. Okay, and so this Casimir connection looks like D minus right. I forgot where to put the beta, but it's lambda here, theta z plus adjoint. So E times U divided by theta z, theta adjoint. So right, so it's exactly look like the form I wrote down before, but specialized to those operators. Minus E tensor U applied to this Casimir operator and plus some F tensor V. So this EF standard generator of SL2. EFH.
Okay. Is this a connection on the moduli of H bundles on the elliptic curve?
So so what I wrote down, so that's right, so that's a flat connection on this configuration of points on elliptic curve. I have to fix the tau, but it also extends to the to M1n.
Well,
I have to put
this
some.
Like in the case of the Casimir connection earlier, the connection lived on the Cartan group, right? There wasn't any n.
Right. So before, so I wrote the Cardan remove something.
Yes.
So the thing you remove corresponds to n. So what I wrote is here. So the hyperplane is labeled by alpha. And if you want to get the configuration, you just have to take Cn.
Right, so that would be I not equal to GLN J. Or SLN.
Yes.
But so here, I'm confused by the SL2 confinement. I would have thought SL2 would have been.
Oh, so if I write SL2, so it's E remove a puncture.
Okay. So this is consistent.
No, sorry.
Sorry.
It's the moduli of H bundles.
No.
Yeah.
This should be the points and point and.
Nope. No, it's just n points on elliptic curve, but those are different. So that's a base.
I mean, there's a subtle difference between like SLN and PSLN.
Uh huh.
Right.
Are we talking about conformal blocks on the torus without punctures?
The Casimir connection. Has some other physical meaning, which I don't quite understand. But it's its own thing. It's not quite conformal blocks. And it's a connection on some space, and that space, I think, is the moduli of H bundles on the elliptic curve.
That makes sense to me.
Most of the time, a H bundle gives you a stable.
I mean, conformal blocks are the module on the space of bundles. Are you just writing down this D module?
No, I think you two are talking different things. You talk about the conformal blocks, and Kevin was talking about the Casimir, the particular type I wrote down, after you do the GLN, GLK duality.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of my questions for the last part.
Yeah. No, I don't understand this either. But...
Yeah, I don't understand either. But anyway, maybe I can write down something, so. Right, so.
There's no punctures in the elliptic curve, there's just a G bundle. and has poles when they're cheap bundle.
No, but are we looking at, are we putting primaries on these toggles and looking at moving around the primaries?
I don't know the physical interpretation.
It's a KZ equation. KZ equation means only one thing, right? KZ equation means I put primaries and I put them around. Or I mean, I put a stress tensor and I just use that to change the complex structure of things. So,
but this is already.
This is more general, right?
No, this is already, forget about the KZ equation. So this is some like a arbitrary flat connection whose bundle, the fiber is also arbitrary carrier representation of this.
Sure. But it's on M1N.
It's on M1N.
So
that's right.
I think it's misleading to call it M1N.
Because
before you call it H. It doesn't look like C2N unless you choose a basis.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's really, it's a moduli. There's no punctures in the comparator.
Right, I'm confused. When I see that this C alpha and the D, what do they mean?
C alpha and D. So, right. So this is a Casimir operator, EF plus FE plus this. So that lies in the enveloping of SL2.
Okay. And the D's. So you promise you want to be D alpha on GLN?
Oh, yeah. That's a D. The D I forgot. So D of alpha plus this.
Okay, so the D of alpha lives where? That's the question. With alpha.
It's like a one form on the.
It's like one form on the base.
And the space of the moduli H bundles is H alpha.
How is Z? So if it is an alpha and a Z, I'm confused. So alpha and Z.
So before I wrote, so if I, so depending on how I write the coordinate here, so if I write it as z, so here I meet z.
Ah, okay. Because inside is a theta of z, right? Not a theta of other things.
Okay. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it should be z, right? Right, so like Kevin said, I don't understand the physical meaning of this either, but we wrote this down, so we know it's flat. And so this one, Kevin said it's misleading.
What's not physics. It's Kac-Moody, right? we start, in the beginning of the talk, we were talking about Kac-Moody, right? Is there still Kac-Moody somewhere?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I changed the bundle. So before the bundle is like a induced representation of the Kac-Moody,
yes.
And after I changed it, the Kac-Moody stuff gone.
What did you change it to?
So before, there's some curve, and so I put some induced representation of the Kac-Moody.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so one phenomenon, I said, so this guy is embedded into fiber-wise, so this is embedded into the tensor product of the finite G. And I completely changed this to a finite representation of G.
Whereas the G here might be GLN or something.
GLN.
Right, because it permutes the V's.
Right, so that's right. So
the symmetry algebra she has here is related to the symmetric group when you have endpoints. It's quite different.
Right, so now I actually write in terms of GLK.
So there's some kind of trivial duality going on.
The way I understood the duality is that if I have GLN on the plane
uh-huh.
with K punctures,
yes.
which K integrable modules, K by modules, this problem has two sets of parameters. One is the position of the punctures, and the other is what you're doing at infinity, because you put a Vitagram
mm-hmm.
vector at infinity.
Mm-hmm.
And the equations are identical if you exchange the two. Okay, so there is another set of KZ equations which have to do with what you do with the parameter at infinity. and indeed with their equation inside the Cartan with type of planes removed.
So the choice of what you do at infinity is the Cartan with type of planes.
That's right. So this is a dual set of KZ equations which just control what's going on with those parameters. That I'm okay with, but now I don't know what the correct generalization is to the elliptic curve, though, because I still know what it means to put n punctures on the elliptic curve, but I don't have any more this other set of parameters.
You want to use the Dirichlet boundary condition?
No, I mean. Well, no, but I can imagine that somehow the form of the equation can still allow you to treat the endpoints on the torus as a bundle.
No, it seems that there are two parameters: is the endpoints and then the bundle of the torus.
Yes, the bundle of the torus is also a bunch of points.
Yeah.
Right, and there is again a duality between the two.
Right, and the bundle of the torus is like or points if the rank is or.
Right now.
That's the thing she has.
Yes, that's right. So here we have two sets of parameters.
Mm-hmm.
There are two commuting equations, one involving moving the points and then removing the bundle?
Possibly, and I think Yiping is focusing on the moving the bundle equations.
Okay, that's fine. And there are points still.
No, these points here are secretly the bundle. They're the moduli of the bundle.
But the V, right.
You still have the same kind of
geometry.
That's how you.
But are there still two sets of parameters here?
Well, even in the ordinary case, she only used one set of parameters at a time. Right. She didn't discuss both at the same time, so she's not doing that here either. But
well, the others are hidden inside this EF and H, or things like that. So conformal blocks of Katzmuddy and torus, right? They form a D-modulum on bundles on the torus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that connection that D-module? It must be more general, right? Because it's acting on more things.
I don't know, because the appearance of this algebra from the point of view of Katzmuddy or Chern-Simons theory is bizarre, because it has two parameters. So I think what Yiping and Valerio collaborators did is you study this universal algebra in the cases of CC star the curve, and you find, was it, how does it go, the quantum group, the Yangian, and this?
Yeah.
The fact that if you do it on C within a regular singularity infinity, you find the quantum group is some kind of universal algebra. It's very reasonable. Because it's future in silence.
Something big is that you're studying the torus with a lot of punctures too, and you want to write equations which hold for any number of punctures. I mean, for any number of V integral representations.
I see what you're saying, but why wouldn't that argument would say you could also get something big on the plane?
So now it's my turn to ask a question. So that's basically the result we have. And finally, I also have some questions. So I should say this is very informal. And some questions may not make sense. But I asked them last September at conference, nobody complained, so. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the first thing is about the relation of the KZ equations and the fusion tensor. And so there should be a relation. So the evidence I have is so the result of Kashtan Lustig. So they stated, if I look at the representation of G hat, the representation category of G hat and with fixed level. And so on this category, they have the fusion tensor, which they constructed. And so this is equivalent to representation of UQG, the quantum group, but with roots of unity. Okay, I negative 1 pi k, k is a level. Right, so this is the tensor of the R matrix. Right, so they have this result. And so it's an energy to the Conon Greenfield theorem, where I stated before the monodromy, the monodromy statement. So representation of this guy, if you look at the tensor is induced by KZ. So this is equivalent to representation of UQG with the R matrix tensor. And so this guy is formal. Right, so this indicates if I have points on a curve, if you move the points, so those tensor representation of G hat will have a characterization for the fusion. Right, so my question is, if there's a known result for representation of the toroidal case, if there's a some fusion tensor for this, whether it might have to do with this KZB or the Casimir I wrote down. So maybe I should say some words. Why do I care about the question? So the motivation. Is the following thing. So with Ivan Milkovich and Gufan Zhao, so we are trying to do a construction of two-dimensional affine Grassmannian, of loop Grassmannian. And so our approach is to use the fusion bundle. So basically, so the base now, so it's a Hilbert given point on C2. So it's a surface. And we figured out here, so there are some pieces of this 2D Grassmannian. So it's sitting inside projectivization of the fusion bundle. But this fusion bundle is, if I have points move on a surface, and if I collide those points, and so there's a characterization using the fusion. Right, so I'm just wondering whether you have a similar statement for the double current guy. So fiber-wise, I have this double current X on the fusion bundle. And in my Casimir connection, the appearance of this double algebra really confused me. Okay, so that's one thing. And so another thing is what's exactly the physical meaning of the Casimir connection? So Gufan suggested the following. So he told me it might, so this Casimir I wrote down, so it might has to do with the quantization of Donaghy, Seiberg, Witten integrable system. Okay, and I can write down the evidence we have, but I don't know whether this is true. Right, so there's another another guy, so another connection which I didn't say. So there exists another elliptic type connection we have. It's basically replace this double algebra by the Cherenkov algebra, by the rational Daha. So there are two properties for this case. One property is, so this guy specializes to the elliptic Dunkel operator. So there's a standard way for Dunkel operator. So this is a work by Heckmann. Maybe the elliptic case is due to Cherenkov. So you can get the elliptic Cauchy monster space. Okay. And another property we have is so the monodromy of this guy, of this Daha, sorry. So it factors through the, so that's a rational Daha. So it factors through the factors through the double affine Heike algebra. Okay. So I read the literature. So there are something I don't understand, but I can write it down. So this is from the paper of Nikonsov, Shatashvili. So they have this quantization. Of Donaghy, Seiberg, Witten. So they say for n equals 2 star theory. So this guy recovers the elliptic Cauchy monster. Okay. Right, so it seems very similar to the property I listed here. So also we have this famous AGT correspondence. Anyhow, I'll just write it down. So partition function in 4D gauge theory is equivalent to the 2D conformal block. So this also with a present of a surface operator, which I don't know what it is. Here with an additional insertion of a degenerate field, which I also don't know what it is. But anyhow, I'm not sure if this 4D to D stuff has to do with the fact that if I look at the bundle of my connection, so it carries a double stuff, so that's less than 4D. And the base comes from a curve, which is like 2D. So it doesn't make sense, right? Anyway, but there's one property for this degenerate field. So here, so the monodromy of this guy is given by the Wilson Hoft operators. So this is computed by Kapustin. So Kapustin said, so this form a Daha, double affine Heike algebra. And this seems match up with the property I wrote down here. So my last confusing part I have is I thought No, I thought the AGT has a different geometry. Meaning, right. So there's a beta gauge correspondence. Also in Nekrasov's paper, so for D, n equals 2, supersymmetry. So he said this, you can get the XYZ spin chain, which to me is the elliptic quantum group of SL2 acting on the elliptic cohomology of cotangent bundle of Grassmannian. But I also read the paper of Schiffman-Wasserod, where they suggest so myself and Gufan, so we have the elliptic quantum group of an arbitrary Lie algebra of a quiver X on elliptic cohomology of this quiver variety with arbitrary framing. But what Schiffman-Wasserod's paper did, where they prove the AGT correspondence, they're using cohomology, but it's a loop. So when the quiver is one loop case, so they suggest I should look at elliptic of GL1 hat X on the equivalent elliptic of this Hilbert scheme of points on C2 instead of using this SL2. Anyway. That's everything I want to say. Thanks.